Hey guys, welcome to the channel. I'm so glad that you're here. You know, our mission at Faith is to lead people to Jesus and elevate their faith. I trust that today's sermon would strengthen your faith in God and elevate your confidence for the impossible. God bless you. Let's get into it.
Praise God. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of James. James chapter 2 and verse 26. It says, as the body without the spirit is what? Dead. As the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works. So faith without works is what? Dead. So say that again. So faith without works is dead. How? Also. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you this morning. I pray, Lord, you touch. I pray, Holy Spirit, you breathe upon your people. Breathe upon us. Breathe upon our hearts as your word go forth. I decree and I declare, Holy Ghost, that you'll just move in this place. I pray faith will arise. Faith will increase. I pray there'll be leaps and bounds of faith. There'll be leaps and bounds of faith today in the name of Jesus, that your people would go out. And this week will be a week of expression of what you've done on the inside. There will be expressions of what it is you've done on the inside of them in the mighty name of Jesus. So we give you the glory and we give you all praise in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You know, we're coming out of 3 days of Elevate Your Faith, and it was 3 awesome nights. Amen. We were here Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. If you're here, can you bear witness? I said, if you are here, can you bear witness? It was some amazing nights of prayer, nights of worship, and then we shared the word. And I spoke to you about, Lord, increase our faith. Amen. Anybody needs an increase of faith? And I want to encourage you, you know, go back home and listen to those teaching again. That's how faith comes. Because the Bible says, faith comes by what? Hearing. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the what? By the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you got to keep hearing. You got to keep listening. You got to keep listening to truth so that what? It gets into you and it produces what? Fruit. Hello? The word gets in you and it produces fruit. Do you know the word of God is quick? You know the word of God is powerful? You know the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword? So when the word gets in you, it works on you. Hello? When the word gets in you, it works in you. And faith is created. Listen, the word says here that faith without works is dead. The first time we spoke about increase of faith, the second time we spoke about faith being the access point for everything that you want from God. Anything that you desire of God today, I want to tell you, you can access it by your faith. You do not access from God based on works. You access from God by the position of your belief. Hello? So faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, when you receive word, that there is a reason, it then should spur you on to do something. Hello? The reason you receive instruction is so that you can perform a duty. The reason you train your children, it says train them up in the way they should what? Go. So when you train, there should be something that follows. I'm going to say that again. When you train your child, you expect to see what? Results. So that's what the word says now. Faith without works is dead. So God is trying to tell us, when I put faith within you and I give you the faith that you're looking for, I am expecting fruit. Because if I train, we have 4 and 1 on the way, and we train them and they do contrary, they deserve to be reproved, corrected, and re-instructed. But when we speak to them, and we instruct them and we train them, we now look for fruit. Or we look for works. Faith without works is what? Dead. So now God is looking for us as his children to bear fruit. God is looking for some action. Because when we receive the word, we are now responsible to live the word. We are now responsible. That's why the Bible tells us, be ye not hearers of the word only, deceiving yourself. Because if you pack yourself with knowledge and you come to church every Sunday and you say, oh, pastor, great word, but you do not go and live. You do not go and let the word work now in your life, you deceive yourself. You're deceived. God cannot be deceived and God cannot be mocked. But when we take word and we do not use it, apply it to our everyday life, we are deceiving ourselves. So faith without works is dead. I'll say that again. Faith without, no, I can have all the faith in the world, but Brother Hunter has cancer and I don't believe and I don't put my faith into action and pray for him. God says, you're a great fool, Pastor Sam. I've revealed to you that I'm healer, but you refuse to put your hands. He says, boy, you're wasting your time. You're just deceiving yourself, crying and praying, but you're not doing the work. The reason the disciples wanted power and wanted more faith is so that they can manifest what Jesus was manifesting. So they came to Jesus and they say, increase our faith, lift our faith, push our faith up. That when every situation, any situation comes before us, we'll be able to speak to it and it will change. So today I want to talk to you about faith in action. Hey, in John 15, 2 it says, every branch in me, you and I are a branch. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he what? Takes away. Today, God is looking for you to be fruitful. God requires fruitfulness from his church. Enough with laying back, sitting back, and not doing anything with what God has given to you. I want to bring you up in the spirit today. I want you to get tired of fruitlessness. I want you to get tired of barrenness. When Hannah went to the temple, she said, God, too much shame on my name because I'm barren. Take away the barrenness. I need some action. I need some fruit. I want to bring forth. It is time the church says, God, you've been depositing in me for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. You saved me. Let fruit come out of my life. Let my life be a testimony of what it is you've written in your word. You did it with David, you'll do it with me. You did it for Hannah, you will do it for me. You did it, Almighty God, for Deborah, do it with me. You did it with the Apostle Paul, the one that wanted to wipe the church out, but you met him on the road at Damascus. Do it with me. Let my life bear fruit. Let my life produce. Let my life produce in my community. Let my life produce in my lineage. Let my life produce in my family. Let my life produce in my children. Let my life produce. Let my life produce. Let my life produce. The word action speaks of the ability to make things happen. Make things happen. It's when you hear the word action or you hear about an action song when you went to Sunday school, you know you're going to be doing something. Anybody went to Sunday school? Yeah. Sunday school, when they used to sing, Father Abraham had many sons. You know that was an action song. I'm in right, out right, upright, down right, happy all. Action song. It's the same way we are called to have action in our life. We are called to move. We are called to grow. We are called to bear fruit. And the beautiful thing about God, God loves fruit. So whenever you bear fruit, he has a plan to cause you to bear even more fruit. When you begin bearing fruit, you excite God. Hello? When you bear fruit, you excite God. Let me show you from the scripture. Let's go to John 15:2. It says, the second part says, and every branch that bears fruit, he what? He prunes. He what? He prunes that it may what? Bear more fruit. Oh my God. When God see you win soul, he don't say, oh wow, you won one soul, wear your crown, celebrate, sit down. Hey, no, he prunes you and he teach you how to win more souls. He teach you how to reach more people. The process of pruning is important for what purpose? Especially to increase fruitfulness. Pruning is not cutting your plant. It's not trimming away the plant because it's just too big. No, no, that's not pruning. The purpose of pruning is to make a plant more productive. So when God prunes you, anytime you're being pruned or you feel there's a cutting away, the purpose of the cutting away is to make you more fruitful. It's to make you more productive. And it's to cause you to grow even greater. Because it says the mustard seed is the one of the tiniest seed. But then it grows into a great tree. And then the bird comes and they find refuge in it. I want to tell you, God wants to grow you up and cause others to come under you and to find life. He puts his life-giving spirit within you that you grow and then you become an expression of life. It's like Sister Hunt and her husband. He didn't feel like coming to church. But because the word of faith was in her, she said, you're not staying home. You are coming to church. And as a result, hands were laid upon him. And when he went back, what? The mask that was white now looked like fire. And then when he went back, there was no mask there. Do you understand? So now every one of our life, there has to be action behind our faith. I said there must be action behind your faith. Because faith without works is? Faith without works is? Somebody needs to cry out, Lord, prune me. Prune me. Prune me, Lord. Prune me today that I may produce. Prune me so that I may become more productive. Prune me that I may grow and I may elevate and I may bear more fruit. The Amplified says, oh my God, hey. And he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues. God is not looking for you to bear fruit once. He's looking for you to consistently bear fruit. He's looking for you to be consistently productive in his kingdom. When if you're a prayer warrior, he expects you to pray every day. He expects you to intercede on others' behalf. If you're an usher, he expects you to greet and to smile and to seat, to meet people and engage them and let the feel the love of God flowing out of you. That's fruit. I said that's fruit. I said that's fruit. If you're a greeter at the door, David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Can I tell you, in the tents of wickedness, sometimes there are riches. Sometimes there is enough. Plenty. There is abundance. But mighty God, the Bible says, great is the fall of the wicked. You're going to see them today. They flourish. And then you go looking for them. And you would hear them say, they don't live here anymore. But to those who are righteous and seek God with all their hearts and love him with a diligent heart and are grounded and settled. And when, whoa, ho, 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 it may not be quick, it may take time. Because as I taught you, patience and faith goes together. But then once you have the ability to produce, God expects you to produce. God expects us to have a fruit-bearing life. God hates barrenness. Do you know every woman in the Bible that was mentioned that was barren produced? Every woman that was barren in the Bible, that was mentioned in scripture, God caused them to produce. And the Bible even went further. And it says, many are the children of the barren woman. More are the children of the barren woman. I want to tell you, if you feel like you're in a barren place today, God is getting ready to cause you to produce. If you would believe that he's a God that keeps his word. He says, now unto him that is able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly above. If you believe that word, you can expect it to work for you. Hallelujah. I said, if you believe that word, you can expect it to work. The only woman barren in scripture that did not give birth was Michael, because she mocked the man that worshiped God. She had the nerves to laugh at David, or to correct David, a man that was worshiping God with all his heart, with all his strength. She said, oh, look at the king, how he's behaving before the maidens. No, he was not dancing before the maidens. He was dancing before the Lord. He was giving God all his praise. He was giving him all his glory. He was giving him all the honor. So God says, don't tell me you love me. Let your life produce. Don't tell me you love me. Let your life, let your fruit speak. You know, we know that saying, action speaks what? Louder than words. I can come here and I can talk to you, but if there's no action in my life, oh my God, I'll be a pity of a man. I'll be a pity of a man. If I come here and I tell you, love your wife, and I go home and I smack around Pastor Cher, oh my God, I don't care if you find out before God, I'm going to be a papa. Because the Bible said my prayers will not even answer. And you're wondering, why am my ministry is pining? Why I'm pining away? It's because my words have no weight. And my life has no fruits. So I want to tell you, God expects us to be a fruit. And to whom much is given, what? Much is required. I said, to whom much is given, much is required. I said, to whom much is given, much is required. Whatever faith you have today, it is required of you to put it to work. Put it on your body. Put it on your finances. Put it on your family. Speak over your family by faith. Declare, we're going to get to that. Now, don't go too fast. But my God, God expects us. And why does God expect us? Because he has invested in us. Why does God expect your faith to work? It's because he has invested in you. Write that down. God is invested in you. You know, if you're making an investment and you go to the bank and you borrow $1 million and you're about to build a property and you commit the work to a contractor, you show up periodically and the first day they might start preparing the ground for foundation, but they can't prepare for foundation for 6 months. I'll go. You're not, are you tracking? Yeah. They can't be laying foundation for 6 months. Some of us, we get saved and we say, I'm on the journey. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want to tell you today, the spirit that's within you is more powerful than any flesh that will rise up against you. I said the spirit within you is more powerful than your flesh. But we don't open our eyes and believe what God says. We believe what the world says. When the world says live slack and go to church on Sunday, we pick up the lifestyle. We pick up the lifestyle of the world and we live slack all week. And then we come on Sunday and hoping to make it right. And we use the flesh as an excuse. You know, and no excuses stands before God. I said, no excuse stands before God. You could try to twist and twirl a brother or sister in the church, but when it comes to God, no excuse. Because the Bible says, the heart of man is before his eyes. Man looks at the outside, but what does God look at? God sees your heart. He sees your intent. He knows your deepest thoughts. My God, we're like an open book before him. So you can be sly and slick with people, but with God, he laughs at you. Because he requires much of you. You know why he requires much of you? Because he has put his spirit. That same Ephesians 3:20 says, according to the power that works. Yeah. There is a power that works in the believer. I said there is a power that works in the believer. And this word is the dunamis that works within you. So, and the dunamis is the miraculous of God. Just like faith comes from God, it is divine. The dunamis of God is within you. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you and you will be. Don't worry what the next word is. But he said, as a result of the Holy Ghost coming in you, you will be. That means there's a change that happens when the Spirit of God takes over. I said this, there is a change and a transformation when the Spirit of God takes over in your life. There is a becoming. So what you need to do is to submit to the becoming. And say, God, mold me, fashion me, put me on the potter's wheel, and make me all that you want me to be. Why does God expect change? It's because he puts his power, he has invested in you. Don't look at yourself ordinary. Tell your neighbor, God has invested in you. Tell him, God has invested in you. So now if God is making an investment, he wants to make a withdrawal. The reason we invest in the business world is so that we can withdraw. The reason you go to work and invest your time is so at the end of week one or week two, you can make a withdrawal. When you go to the bank, listen, I know what it is to think I'm getting paid. And when I go to the bank, there's no money there. Anybody ever had that? You thought your money was going to come in and didn't. Listen, I thought two Fridays ago some money was going to come in for me. And Pastor Cher said, Sam, the bills are due, this, that, and the other. She said, the bills are due. We got to pay this. We got to pay that. And I went, there's no money there. I checked on Friday again. There's still no money. So that's 2 weeks late. Right? And I need a large sum. I don't need a little chingy-wingy. No, I need a big drop. Because we got big bills to pay. This is not savings. I'm talking about bills that's due. So if you don't pay your bills, what happened? You get interest. Is that, yeah. You don't pay your cable bill, you're going to see a little $5. And you're like, oh, that's just $5. But guess what? It's $5 you lost. Your pizza money is gone. Your coffee, your Starbucks drink is gone. So I said, God, I need it. And when we came Friday night, we said we're going to sow a seed. Hey, anybody was here Friday? We said we're going to sow a seed. And I started off to sow $100. And then the Spirit of God bear witness within me and said, don't bear 100. Don't sow 100 because you need more than 100 blessing. And I put 250 in there. And when I went to the gym, I think, was I at the gym? No. Yesterday, I didn't go to the gym. We're home. I looked at my email and the lady replied, this is weekend, business closed. She replied and she said, the money will be there on Monday morning. I want to tell you, when there is faith, there's got to be action. When there is faith, there has to be action. I said, when there is faith, there has to be action. Because faith without works is? Faith without works is? I said, faith without works is? God has invested. It wasn't my mind that told me to sow the seed. It was the power. Yeah. It was the power, the Holy Ghost within me bearing witness to what it would take to break something in the spirit and open the windows of heaven to pour a blessing that I will not have room enough to receive. It is time for us to tie in and tap in to what the Holy Ghost is doing on the inside. Faith without works is dead. And the power that God has invested in you, it is not weak. The power that God has invested in you, it is not impotent. Meaning he cannot do what he was supposed to do. No, the power that is within you is a power that is omnipotent. It is not impotent. It is omnipotent. Meaning God can do what? All things. He is able to perform all things that concern you. I say he's able to perform all things that concern you. But God is waiting for you to move. I say God is looking for you to move. God is looking for you to get with the plan. Get with his plan. Oh my God. that the power that is within us, it is not feeble, it is not fatal, faint, it is not tender, it is not soft, it is not wimpy, it is not unsubstantial, it is not inadequate to change and shift the outcome of adverse situations in your life. Did I lose you guys? What I said there should have made you shout. No, I'm going to go slow. I said the power that's within you, it is not inadequate to change and to shift outcomes that are adverse in your life, situations that are adverse in your life. God is able to change everything, and he's able to turn evil around for good. What was meant for your demise now becomes a platform because you're moving by faith. Because you're stepping out by faith and you're obeying him. God puts an idea in your heart. You said, okay, God, is it you? You check it out with 2 prayer, 3 prayer. Not every thought that comes to your mind, you run out and do it. No, you'd be like David. When David wasn't sure, you know what he did? He went back and prayed. And he said, Lord, should I go up? Will you give me victory? And the Lord says, yes, go after your enemies. Pursue the enemy. We got to be patient. Remember, patience and faith works together. I'm not talking about laziness and lackadaisical. And I'm not talking about procrastination. I'm talking about the spirit of patience that flows out of the Holy Ghost. That would have you wait in the place of prayer. Have you wait in the word. And then God brings confirmation and you move forward. Sometimes we mix up patience and laziness. Then the Bible said, you must be what? Diligent in business? The Bible says the children of this world are shrewder than the children of the kingdom. You know what that means? When the secular man gets an idea, he jumps on it. And he gives it a shot. Now we have a power that works in us. That conforms God's heart to us. But we don't tap in. How do you tap into the Holy Ghost? Worship. Worship. Prayer. The word. Fellowship. You see, you got weak when I said fellowship. We don't believe that because we have not yet got a revelation of the power of coming together. Let me help you here. Don't ever forget it. He says wherever 2 or 3 are gathered in whose name? When we come to church, who names we're gathering in? We're gathering the name of Jesus. Where 2 or 3 are gathered in his name, I am what? In the midst. Don't you pray, Lord, come and change. Lord, come and do. When you gather together, Jesus shows up. So fellowshipping is vital. If you have a deceived mind that you don't like fellowship, tell the devil out right now. That's right. Say it again. Out right now. The Bible says, resist the devil and he shall. Resist the devil and he shall. So if you're having a feeling to not fellowship, you need to resist the devil. If you're having a feeling that says stay home, you need to resist the devil. You need to resist the enemy because David says, when I went to the house of the Lord, there is a victory that takes place when you come together in the house of God. When you gather in the house of God, it's an expression of the position of your heart that you're faith-filled and you're going to the house of God to make a withdrawal. Church is not just a place to sit for 3 hours and be entertained. It's a place of access. It's a place when you come, you experience the overcoming power of God that works within you, creates for you, and make amazing things manifest with your name on it. If not, the church would have closed down a long time ago. I say that again. If not, the church would have closed down a long time ago. Because a church without power, it's a church that is wanting. I'll say that. A church without power is a church when God puts it in the scale, Balance will not come, but wanting will come. Because he said, for I have given you what? Power. What I've given you?
Power.
I've given you what?
Power.
Amen. So, remember now, we have the power of God within us. That's how we can manifest the works of God. That's how we can live by faith. That's how we can take action. Because what? The Holy Spirit says, yes, go forward. Yes, you hear that voice within you. And the voice says, yes, go forward. Mighty God. So, let me back up a little. I think it's Romans 17. It says, faith comes by what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Romans 10:17. So, when you start on the journey of faith, you start with what? Your mustard seed. He says, if you'd have faith as a mustard seed, if you would be persuaded as small as a mustard seed, that's the beginning. Hello? That's your beginning. And that will cause you to move mountains and slay giants and uproot trees. But my God, you know, sometimes you get discouraged. Eh? Anybody ever been discouraged? But when you get discouraged, what do you have to do? You get into your secret place with God.
Wow. Oh, wow. This bottle is in the secret place.
When you get discouraged and you're on your journey, you get into your secret place with God. And you just begin to pray. You begin to read the word. You begin to worship. You begin singing. And all the while, nothing is happening. All the while, nothing is happening. But when we worship God, it's a sign of faith. When we pray, it's a sign of faith. When we read the word of God, it's a sign of faith. When we fellowship, it's what? It's a sign of faith. And you go in and you keep doing it. And everyone is looking at your life and they're saying nothing is happening. But who knows that times and seasons are in the hand of God? Who knows that God has an appointed time with your name on it? And if you would linger in his presence and you would linger around the throne of God, the Bible says, come into the throne that you may obtain what? Grace. So your Bible reading brings grace. Oh, your worship, you walk away with grace. When you spend time in prayer, you walk away with grace. And you stay there and you keep doing it. And every day you're pouring. And then all of a sudden, whilst you keep doing that, God begins to move. And they saw you in prayer, word, and that. But there comes the miracle. Look at the difference. You pour in one thing, God pours out another. You pour in this, he pours a blessing. Unlimited. I tell you, faith without works is dead. Put action. Action to your faith. Because he is able to do exceeding, and he fills it and he causes it to overflow, and others can come and flow in the river that he creates around you. Somebody praise him. I said praise him. Watch what God will do with a set of people that begins to move. God is waiting for you to put some action on your faith. I said he's waiting for you to put action to your faith. Now, what are some actions we can take? You're going to write with me, right? The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. Let's go to Proverbs 18:20-21. It says a man's stomach will be satisfied with the fruit. Remember, we start with fruit, right? You'll be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. I thought I would be satisfied with the things I eat. I thought I'll be satisfied with the money I get from my job. But here the word of God says that I will be satisfied with the fruit of my
mouth. What comes out of your mouth? Words. What comes out of your mouth? Words. How did God create the universe? The Bible says he what? He spoke. Let there be light, and there was what? He spoke it, and it happened. I want to tell you today, as a sign of faith, your words must change. As a sign of faith, your words must change. Because the words you speak is tied to your future. Because life and death is in the power of the what? The tongue. So what you say will affect outcomes. I say what you say will affect outcomes. So God is expecting us to speak words of life. Words of advancement. He expects us to use the ability to create future possibilities with care. Because he didn't say every good word you speak, you have to give account. He says, no, every idle word you speak, he's going to hold you accountable. So you know what are some idle words? Idle doesn't only mean that you have nothing to do, so you sit around talking and gaffing and laughing. No, that's not idle. Every word that does not line up with God's plan for your life, he's going to hold you accountable for it. Every word that you speak that tears someone down, God is going to hold you accountable for it. Every word that you speak that empowers the demonic realm, God is going to hold you accountable for it. You have to watch what flows out. It says, out of the mouth, bitter and sweet water cannot flow from the same spring. Hello? When you go to a spring, it cannot give you bitter water and sweet water. Can we find that scripture? Come, guys. Find those scriptures to me. Let's go back. We're going to get back there. It says, you will be satisfied with your word. He will be satisfied with the consequences of his word. A man's stomach shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips shall he be filled. Meaning, he will be satisfied with the consequences of his word. What are you speaking over your life? I cannot make it. I'm old. My future is torn up. I passed my prime. I cannot do anything productive. You don't know my past. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know this person abused me. This person misused me. This person refused me. You don't know my parents. No! What is the power within you saying to speak? Words of faith speaks life. As a person of faith, we are expected to speak words that will challenge our future. Hello? Speak words that will challenge your future. Speak words that will challenge every opposition in your way. Challenge every demon that lines up. You would speak things. In the name of Jesus, I will make it. In the name of Jesus, I am the head and I'm not the tail. I am above and I'm never beneath. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Didn't the word just says, you'll eat the fruit of your lip? So watch your words. Watch what you say. Watch how you say it. It says in verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. James says that the tongue is a small member, but it could kindle a great fire. Hello? There's some things I've said in my life, I wish I never said them. Because people don't forget. Do you know people remember you by your words? Yes. People remember you by your words. The things you say. Do you know words are actions? Yes. In the world, they teach you that words are just words. But in scripture, word has power to create action. Yes. Because when God said, let there be light, what happened? There was what? Light.
And who do we mirror ourselves after? God. Because he has given us his image and his likeness. We were made with his abilities. Don't sleep on me, church. I said we were made with his abilities. If you would walk out of this room today knowing that you have a power to create with your mouth, you're going to begin to speak different. You're going to watch the words that come out of your mouth, because your future is tied to your words. Your future is tied to your words. Let's go to Mark 11:22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. What he says? For assuredly, or as sure as it gets, I say to you, whoever what? Says. Whoever what? Whoever what? Whoever says to this mountain. You know the first step to breaking a mountain down is to speak against it. You know, if you have a bully that's bullying you, the first thing is not to find strength to talk. The first thing is to find strength to speak. If you can stand in the face of the bully and says, you can't do me nothing, he's going to be like, what? He may knock you out one time, two times, but you keep talking. Before you know it, that bully's not going to come around anymore, because you are using your power. And what you are doing, you are creating reactions in the spirit realm. You are. Why you think they go on news and governments create propaganda? They go out and speak things, and then it tunes your mind to think a certain way. Why you think at election time, they don't come and do nothing for you, they come and promise you. And they separate nations based on promises or based on declarations. So there is power in what we say. So it's time for the church to start believing what the Holy Ghost is prompting you to say. It is time for us to believe the power that is working within us. And believe that God is greater. Greater is he that is in me. More are they that are with me than those who are against me. So it's time for us to start speaking to our children. Speak to your future. And when you speak, you know that it's action. It's not just talk. Hey, are you getting the revelation? Words are actions. Words in the spirit is action. You're going to say to the mountain. He didn't say you're going to go and get a big excavator and break the mountain. No, he said speak to the mountain. Speak to stress. Speak to oppression. Speak to depression. Speak to the devil. Speak to him and say, devil, you have no authority in my home. You have no authority in my life. You have no authority in my business. You have no authority in my interests. You got no authority in my marriage. You got no authority between me and my children. I command you to exit stage right now. Hold on. Don't clap yet. The devil is a stubborn fella. Do you know the devil never left Jesus? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says he looked for an opportune time. And whilst he was in Judas working against Jesus, in his midst. So when the devil shows up, it is because you've been announced in the spirit realm. Because the anointing don't only attract good people, it attracts snakes. The anointing attracts fox and wolves. But the greater will always win. I said the greater will always, because the anointing will break every yoke. Every yoke. So when you see opposition, don't see it as a sign of the absence of God. See that the spirit realm is awakened to who you are. But how do you defeat it? With your words. One of the weapons is your word. Because life is in your tongue. So you could speak everything that aligns with life, and change will come. When you resist the devil, that's a life you're speaking. When you bind the devil, it's a life you're speaking. Mighty God. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you are, ask when you pray. When you ask, what are you doing? You're speaking. Whatever things you ask when you pray, what? Believe and you shall have them. You shall what? Have them. So one of the keys is the things you say, your words. Words. Write that down. My words will change my destiny. Say it. Say it. My words will change my destiny. I want to read the Amplifier of Mark 11, 24. It says, for this reason I'm telling you, whatever things you ask in prayer in accordance with the will of God, what? Believe, that's faith, with confident trust that you have received them and they will be given to you. Amen? Now, the next thing I want to get you with is there must be action now. Now, you go from creating action with words, but now you're creating actions with actually moving. Amen? Genesis 12, 1 to 4. It says, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country from among your family and from among your father's house to a land that I will what? I will show you. To a land I will show you. This is God calling Abraham and not telling him where he's telling him to go. God wants to see your response when you're not sure. God wants to know if you will trust him even when you don't know where you are heading. Here he says to Abraham, 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 come out. Get out of your father's house. Get out from your country. Leave your family behind and come to where I will show you. Verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and I'll make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. 3, I will bless those who what? Bless you. I will what? Bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now that's the promise. But look at the action now, verse 4. It says, so Abraham what? Abraham what? He put movement to what he believed. Because God called him one. The call was okay. But within the call, there was a promise. I'll say that again. Within the call, there was a promise. In order for him to receive the promise, the next step was movement. I want to ask the church this morning, if one of the reasons we are not seeing promises fulfilling our life is because we refuse to move at the bidding of the Spirit. We refuse to respond to when God calls. God says to Abraham, he said, Abraham, leave your family. He said, Abraham, leave your kindred. Leave everything. Come out of the country that you're comfortable in. What do you do next? Is what? The promise is predicated on your movement. If he did not move, he will not inherit, I will bless you. He will not inherit, I'll make you great. He will not receive their families of the earth to be blessed because you. None of us sitting in this room would have been able to receive the blessings of Abraham if he did not do verse 4. And verse 4 says, and so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was how old? 75 years old when he departed from Haran. He departed up on the basis of what? The basis of faith. He didn't see the promise because the man died and he didn't even get the land. I said the man died and he didn't get the land. But God had him walk through the land as he was sojourning with God. By faith, God made him great. Hebrews 11, 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went forth to the place which he was destined to receive what? As a what? An inheritance. And he went all through, although he did not know or it troubled his mind about where he was going. Even though he did not know, the man what? The man got going. We don't have to wait for God to give us a sketch, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. No, he says, where I lead, you follow, and I will make a way. Because he is the way making God. Where there is no way, he makes a way. When they got to the Red Sea, there was no way through the Red Sea. Who made the way? God showed up and God made the way. We just got to get moving. He's going to get you on the other side. But what we got to do? Be obedient. He says, if you're willing and you're obedient, you will eat the fat of the land. So faith requires movement. Faith requires movement. God gives you a promise that he's going to bless you financially. Can I tell you, you got to get moving if you want it? Hello? He said, for I have given you the power to get wealth. I've given you what? The power or the ability to get wealth, to lay hold on wealth. The power is within us. But if we don't get moving with what God has placed way down deep, that burning desire, you're going to turn 50, 60, 70, and you're going to transition to heaven, and you will never see that promise come together because you refuse to move. I'll say that again. You refuse to move. I'm a product of movement. I want to say that. I'm a product of movement. When I was in my early 20s and wanted to start a business, everyone said, oh, Sam, go get a city job. Go do this. Go do that. And I know what God was saying way down on the inside. He said, start the business. Start the business. And I told my family and they're like, oh, no, you know, no. Because everyone wants the comfort mindset. I mean, everyone had a comfort mindset. Whatever is easy. You know, you work 8 hours a day for 5 days and you get your check at the end of the month, end of the week. I'm not saying that's wrong, but what is God's destiny concerning your life? What is calling you? Where is destiny calling you? You got to follow what is calling you. So I said, I'm going to do it. And I want to tell you, by the grace of God, it has changed our life. It has changed our life. But if I had sit back, because business gives me privilege to do ministry. Business gives me flexibility to travel and still do ministry and still run the business. But if I had gotten tied, because, you know, there are good benefits for taking certain jobs. Yeah, there's good benefits. So if you get a nice city job or a government job, you have your benefits stacked. But I want to tell you, when your life has purpose and you follow the purpose that is destined for you, I said that purpose that is destined for you, you are responsible for your purpose. You are responsible to fulfill the destiny in your life. And your map is going to be different than my map. But it is my obligation to God to follow his roadmap for my life. So I stepped out and I obeyed and I give praise and I give glory to God because he has caused us to prosper. And when you prosper, you return all the glory back to God. Amen? It is he that gives us the power. So Abraham stepped out and he moved out. No, there was two people, and one man that came with him. God called Abraham and his wife, but he took Lot with him. Now, the road map for Lot was very different than Abraham. Be careful who comes with you on the journey. Not everybody you're supposed to carry with you on the journey. Do not be afraid to let go of hands. Do not be afraid. Don't look at face. Sometimes we look at face, especially in families. You look for your families to be around you. When God says something, I call you to be the one that will be the light for the family. But right now they can't see it because scales are on their eyes. I'm going to take you further and I'm going to make you a living testimony, and then they will see the workings of God in me and they will follow. But don't be afraid when God says, come alone. Don't be afraid to move out when God says to move out. Because there is a promise to attain. And the promise was, his name will be great. He said, I will make you a great nation. If he didn't move, you will never get that. If he didn't move, God, he would never have the opportunity for God to bless him. Sometimes God don't want to bless you where you are. He wants to move you out. He want to relocate you. Because if he bless you in the mess, if he bless you in the mess, you're going to think that the mess is working for you. You're going to think the mess is working for you. But God sometimes relocates you. And he said, come with me to this new location. Move your address. Sometimes when you move, it's prophetic. Hello? Sometimes when you move from one address to another, it is prophetic. But sometimes it takes faith to move. And because we don't want to put action to our faith, we stay stuck. We stay stuck. With faith, there is always movement. Peter and John had faith, and when they went to the door, the gate of beautiful, the man moved from where he was. They applied the faith to the man that was lame, and the same man moved from the gate, went into the temple, praising God. There is movement when there is faith. So do not sit on the faith that God has given to you. No, put the faith in action. Amen? Put the faith in action. And Abraham loved God. God bless him. God give him a son. And then it came a time in Genesis 22 now. We're fast forwarding years later. Probably about, it took 25 years to get the promise. Then another probably, this boy was probably a teenager at that point. Or maybe a young adult. So let's say about 30 plus years down the road. Or maybe 40 plus rather. 40 plus years down the road, God says this to Abraham. He said, Abraham in 22 verse 2, and he said, take now thy son, thy only son whom thou what? Lovest. Take now thy son, thy only son. But you're saying Abraham had two sons. God does not see what is outside of promise. God does not see and recognize what is of the flesh. Ishmael was a child of the flesh. God sees what is of the spirit. Spirit sees spirit. I say that again. Spirit sees spirit. Spirit speak to what is spirit. Spirit acknowledges what is of the spirit. Amen? What is not of God, God doesn't even respond. God would ignore them. Amen? So God is looking for us to bear things that are after his heart, produce after his heart. That's the fruit that remains. The fruit the fruit that is produced out of your spirit will remain. The fruit that is produced out of works will perish. Amen? Because even in the latter days, it says our works will be tried with fire. And only what is done from the heart of God is what will stand. Ishmael was not from the heart of God. Isaac was from the heart of God. He said, take your son, your only son, the one you love, and get thee into the land. Now he's sending him to Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell you. Skip over to Hebrews 17. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So what that says, when God says, Abraham, now Abraham, you love this son? This is the promise you receive. Now give it back to me. The Bible says he told his servants, saddle the ass, put wood. Me and the boy, we're going on a journey and we're going to go and worship. And we will come back to you. What he did, even when God asked him for a sacrifice, he was willing to move. Even when God asked him to do an impossible thing. No, that was impossible. Why? None of us would want to give up our child. None of us want to give up our children. You would say, God, take me. Put me on the altar. Don't put my children on the altar. Take me. I live my life. Let me come to you. But he said, give me the son that I've given to you, the one that you love. If you're going to walk by faith, God is going to ask you for things that you love. God is going to ask you for things that you love. But your response when you're asked. Some of us love sports. And when it's church time, the game is playing. God is going to say, are you going to stay home and watch the basketball finals? Or are you going to find yourself in church? Are you going to stay home and watch football on Sunday? Or are you going to come to church? Are you going to let the truth kick in that says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Or you will seek your own pleasure first and use the little phrase that God understands. I want to tell us today, Abraham loved his son. But when God says, come, give me that boy, he was ready to go. Why? He stepped out in faith, knowing that even if God killed that son, God was able to bring him back to life. Because he saw God brought the womb where the boy came from. The womb was dead. His body was dead. And God brought it back to life. So he said, God, if you did it for me, even if my boy goes on that altar and he died, you are able to bring him back to life. I want to tell somebody this morning, your faith requires movement. The faith that God has put within you, get moving with it. If you would have faith as what? A mustard seed. You will say to the mountain, be moved. He said, you will speak to the mulberry tree, and mulberry tree be uprooted from the root. I want to tell you today, stop sitting on your faith. Stop sitting on what God has put within you. We went to the source of faith, who is Jesus. Because faith is not human confidence. Faith is divine persuasion that God is able to do what he has promise. Abraham moved because he was convinced that God was capable of doing what he promised him. Let us stand today.
Thank you so much for watching this message. We pray that it encouraged your hearts. We also want to say a special thank you to our faithful givers and partners. It's because of your generosity that the vision moves forward. If you would like to partner with us, please visit faithchurch.life/give. On Sundays, we have our Sunday services at 10 a.m. live on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. So join us there. Don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe so you never miss another sermon again. I'm Emily. Let's break the code.